We're starting a new series today on John 3:16 called Love Language. And I know it's well known. We all know John 3:16 off by heart. So I want to challenge you today to forget all you know about that and just allow the Word to speak to you in a new way and speak into your heart. 26 words of amazing hope. And we find the story where it starts in John chapter 3. And we're going to do verses 1 to 16. We're not going to read all of them, but I'll take you through that. And if you want to start with that first verse, it says, "Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he came to Jesus at night." So here we meet Nicodemus. And John immediately reminds us that Nicodemus was a Pharisee. Now, you know about the Pharisees. We've all learned about them. The Pharisees were a religious group that thought they had God all worked out. They knew everything about God. They knew how to reach God, how to appease God, how to please God. They were always asking about the rules and the regulations of the kingdom of Christ, of what they needed to do. And they made them up, 623 of those. This you eat, this you don't eat, this you touch, this you don't touch. This is when you wash your hands, this is when you clean your feet, this is when you do that. They had to know, and Nicodemus had to know. Because Nicodemus was one of the leading Pharisees. He was one of their teachers. Not just that, Nicodemus was also a member of the Sanhedrin, or we read it, the Jewish ruling council. If we wanted to translate that into today's world, it would be something like the Jewish Supreme Court. Only 71 members, and he was one of those. And remember, they were the people who condemned Jesus to death. Nicodemus, he had the credentials, he had the clout, but he was looking for an answer. He had a question. And so he goes to this backwater teacher who had no credentials. And yet, people followed him like they didn't follow any of the Pharisees. Nicodemus had to know, who is this man? Why does this happen? So Nicodemus goes to Jesus. But it's interesting that he goes at night, because here's the thing. Being Nicodemus, being one of the leaders, how could he be seen with this Jesus person? It just didn't work. It would not be good for his reputation. So he goes at night when there's no one, and no one would see him, and he's covered, he thinks, by darkness. He didn't read the first verses of John that says everything that's done in the dark will be seen in the light. But in any case, he goes in the darkness to Jesus, and then he starts off with this wonderful word, "Rabbi," he says. So he gives Jesus a title which he didn't have, because he wasn't one of their rabbis. He gives him this title. He's buttering him up a little bit. And then he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who came from God, because no one can do the signs." Now, in John, the word signs means miracles. No one can do the signs that you have done if God didn't give that through him to him, if he didn't come from God. So he's saying, "Jesus, let me butter you up a little bit, and let me tell you, I've looked you up online. I know all about you. I've checked you out before I came to this church. Right? I know about the miracles that you do. I know about the blind that see, the lame that walk, the water into wine. I know all about that stuff. So I just want to tell you, good for you, Jesus." Now, the rule was this. If they spoke to each other, the rabbis, they would always start like this, by saying, "I know who you are. I know your credentials. And I bow before you." And then they would wait for the other one to butter them up back. So he's waiting, and if you read the text, it's kind of like there's this pregnant pause. He's waiting for Jesus to say, "Nicodemus, you came to see me? You, the teacher of Israel? You, the member of the..." Wow, Nicodemus, I'm blown away. Not a word. Not a word. A little bit of silence. And then he says those words. Truly, I say, doesn't, hi Nicodemus, how are you? Good. Just says, truly, I say to you, no one will even see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And I think Nicodemus is blown away, because Jesus just goes straight into the question that Nicodemus had come to ask before he even asked that question. Can you see the huge chasm between Nicodemus's world and Jesus's world? Nicodemus, do good works. Do all kinds of things for others. Know the rules. Follow the rules. Do your best. And then God has to take care of the rest. So it's all about me and what I do and how I can appease God and be good before God. That's Nicodemus. What else can I do? Jesus says, the works don't work. And the best that you do is worthless unless you are born again. If you think this is all you need to do, Nicodemus, you can do as much as you want. You won't even see the kingdom of God. And I think in a moment, Nicodemus thought, Jesus, are you joking? Are you just kidding with me a little bit? But Jesus does not kid. So listen to what he says. He says, Nicodemus says, how can someone be born when they're old? Surely they can't enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus, how does this happen? You can't tell me that you really expect me to go back in my mother's womb. I'm an old guy. I can't go back and mom give birth to me again. Come on, Jesus. What's this story about being born again? And maybe that's a question that we ask. And that's when Jesus answers these words. Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. For flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. For the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now, I don't know if in that moment, as they were in that room, the wind started blowing. And maybe the wind just moved the candles in there or the lamps a little bit. And they heard the wind blowing outside the window like it was blowing in Canada yesterday. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, look at the wind. You know what the wind does, Nicodemus? It blows and it cleans. The wind blows and it takes those seeds and it lets them fall into that ground and they can grow and there's life again. But we don't know where the wind comes from, Nicodemus. Can you tell me where it comes from? Can you stop that wind for us outside there, Nicodemus? Well, here's the thing, Nicodemus. This is what I'm talking about. And it's an interesting word, friends. Can I teach you another Greek word again? And you know this one by now. The word for wind in Greek is pneuma. The word for spirit in Greek is pneuma. It's exactly the same word. Who can stop the wind, Nicodemus? Can change the wind, Nicodemus. So it is with the Spirit of God. It'll blow. And it'll blow you clean. It'll blow and it will change your heart. For the problem for us humans, the whole heart of the problem is the heart. It's the heart that needs to change. It's the heart that needs to be cleaned. It's the heart that needs to be made new so that God can change you and make you into what God created you right from the beginning. See, for Nicodemus, it's about, what do I fix? What do I do? How do I do? And then I get to God, because the better I do, the better I get to God. Jesus says, it's not going to help you at all, Nicodemus. It's about what God does. It's that wind of God that changes everything. I want to ask the question, but I don't know if I should. Have you felt the wind? Have you felt the breeze of the wind that blows? Changes lives. Brings life. Nicodemus says, how can this be? How can this be? I don't get this. And then Jesus takes him to an interesting place. He says, listen to these words again. You need to be born again. The word born immediately is kind of carries with us a passive action, right? Because when I'm born, I can't make myself be born. It's my mother. It's my mother who feels the birth pains coming on. It's my mother who knows that this is going to happen. It's my mother who goes through the pain and the suffering. It's my mother who has to push and push to get me out there. All I do is, when I get out there, I can breathe the wind and I can cry, but I did not birth myself. The gift of life that was given to me was a gift that was given freely, and I received it. It needs a capable parent, not an able infant, to be born. And then he uses this interesting word again. And there's a slide for this, Ted. He uses the word again. And in the Greek, there are two words. And I told you Greek lesson this morning. There are two words for again. The regular word for again is the word palin. Palin means again. Like, let me explain how this one works. So Aiden and I like playing tennis with two rackets and a balloon. And we'll hit the balloon back and forth, back. So I hit it, and he hits it again, and I hit it again, and he hits it again, and I hit it again, it's palin. And when we drop the ball, he says, Opa, can we do that again? That's the first Greek word that we know. An action that is repeated by more than one person. The second word that he uses is the word anothen in Greek, which is translated as again, and that's the second one, Ted, you can go to the second one. It's an action that is repeated, but it's actually means from above or from the source. So the word again that Jesus uses here says it is an action that is repeated by the original source. Now think of that again. You have to be born. It's God who does that from above, from the original source. It's not me. It's not going back to mom. It's from the original source, the one who made me, the one who made me, and he smiled and said, how beautiful. And then sin came, and sin messed us up and broke that image of God. Jesus says, to go to the kingdom, you need to be born from the original source. The one who created you recreates you and makes you beautiful. How can that be? So Jesus takes Nicodemus to a story, verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Takes Nicodemus to a story that he would know really, really well from Numbers chapter 21, when they were in the wilderness, and they got so angry at Moses and so angry at God, and they rebelled against Moses, and God said, we're tired of this manna and this quail. We don't want this anymore. We're going back. And God got so mad at them that he sent those poisonous snakes, and the snakes bit the people, and thousands of them died. And then they came running back to Moses, and they said, Moses, do something about this. Tell God we're sorry. And God says, okay, Moses, make a snake. And Moses made a copper snake, put it on a pole, and he said, everyone who looks up to this snake and believes, they won't die. They didn't. Jesus says, what happened to the snakes can happen to me. Son of Man will be put on a cross. And he will die. And whoever believes, they will be saved. So Nicodemus, you're asking, how does this happen? How can this be? How are we saved? This is it. Look up and live. Because that's why Jesus came. Look up and live. Look at the one who went to that garden and was sweating blood because of the anguish that he felt, because he knew he was carrying your weight, my weight, of all of our sin. Look at the one who was carrying his cross, which was mine and yours, through those streets on a broken back. Look at the one who's nailed to a cross and still says, Father, forgive them. Look at the one who came off that cross and went in a grave and walked out of that grave and conquered death and says, I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives and believes in me will live even though they have died. What must I do? Look up and live. For the wind will blow, and the wind blows wherever it wants. And then he gives him the key. 26 words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That whoever believes in him won't perish, but they will have eternal life. Not because of what they did, not because of how good they were, not about all of the amazing things they did. Because they could look up at the one who died and live. It starts with God and it ends with live. God loved, God gave, we believe, and we have life. And the wind continues blowing. Can we understand these words, Father? We so want to do. We really want to do. And thank you that we can. But we do because we already have life in you. Because we have received the gift that you have given. Your wind that has blown into us. And changed hearts. And changed lives. And yes, Lord, we don't follow you because we think we'll be better at life, but we will. We don't follow you because we think we'll be better parents, but we will. We don't follow you because we think that we'll be a better spouse, but we will. We don't follow you because we think that we change, but we will. Because the wind is blowing. And where your wind blows, Lord, who can stop it? Who can change it? And it brings new life and new breath. So breathe, Lord. Breathe on us. And then help us to look up and see you, Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. And we believe. In your precious name we pray. Amen.